listening to the Paul McGuire Report, wherever you are in the world or the USA. I'm Paul McGuire, and this program has been on, really, for in various forms for over two decades. And the format of the program, the Paul McGuire Report, which has gone under different names, is to communicate the truth, not just spiritually, but the truth in every area or category of life. So let's look at the truth of the COVID vaccination. Let's look at the truth of what the COVID vaccination has allowed in terms of wireless computer-to-brain technology, wireless satellite-to-brain technology, and very, very invasive technologies embedded in our brain, our bloodstream, our body, our organs. You and I, through a multiplicity of inputs, for lack of a better word, you and I are subjected to a barrage of the embedding of nanochip implants, the embedding of DNA chip implants, microchip implants, and so on and so forth. And what really blew open the door for all of this stuff to rush in like it's never rushed in before is the assumed legal powers of the most, and I say assumed because just because somebody claims to have a particular legal power or a particular law on their side, just because they make that claim doesn't in any way, shape, or form mean that in reality, in the legal system, that they even remotely have a legal basis to make such a claim. Like anybody can say anything. And I'll give you an example. One of the top people associated with the World Economic Forum, associated with Klaus Schwab, the leader of the World Economic Forum and the leader of the Global Reset. I happened to catch their video interviews the other day. And I tell you what, I'm not easily startled, but my mind was literally blown when I heard both Klaus Schwab say a bunch of stuff, and then this scientist, very famous, especially in the world of computers, et cetera, artificial intelligence, this very famous scientist who works alongside of the World Economic Forum and is involved with the World Economic Forum, he looked into the camera, and I'm paraphrasing him, but I'm very accurate in my paraphrasing. He looks into the camera and says to the audience, that's you and me, on behalf of the World Economic Forum, he says that we agreed to allow the implanting or the embedding of DNA chip implants, nanochip implants, and other wireless technology, that we agreed. And so that we will look back in history, we'll look back to this time period, and we will realize that because we chose to agree with their program, the whole world has taken a quantum evolutionary leap into paradise. Now, I added the word paradise. So that was a highly, highly disturbing statement because, first of all, 100%, it was a flat-out, stone-cold lie right into your face. This guy is flat-out lying. And that tells you a lot about the people who are running the World Economic Forum and the globalist elite that are financing them. You've got to understand these people are not truthful. They're not men and women of integrity. They're practicing deception. They're practicing lies. They're lying to you. They're deceiving you in order to push forward their global reset agenda. If you're ambiguous about that, if you're confused about that, then you are going to be taken captive. You're going to be taken down and you're going to be made a prisoner. A prisoner where your captivity starts in your brain. You may say, well, that's a little, intense. Yeah, it is intense. It's so intense that you better intensely wake up fast before we lose it all. These people, just like the communists and the Marxists and everybody else that's evil, they are evil, by the way. So don't hold back in saying what it's obvious they are. They're evil because they proceed based on deception and lies. And they said, this guy said, we agree, and we'll look back, and realize that because we agreed, this launched the fourth industrial revolution, this launched the global reset, this allowed man to move from mortality to immortality, and man became post-human, and we became like God. So in a sense, he was subtly complimenting us for agreeing. But let's go back to that statement. His claim that we agreed to this agenda of the global reset is a lie, it's deception, it's a falsehood. Nobody agreed. You didn't agree, I didn't agree, I don't know anybody who agreed. Nobody officially agreed. And how can I say that with such certainty? Because if hypothetically somebody in the United States was to legally agree, they would have to do so by violating the most powerful legal safeguards that we have, our Bill of Rights, our constitutional rights, which were given to us by our founding fathers as these powerful legal safeguards designed to protect us from being enslaved and going into captivity. So even if somebody wanted to betray our nation and enter into an agreement, that agreement would not even for a moment be valid. So our politicians and individuals and the tech giants and all the rest of the people, they can't agree. Even if they wanted to, they can't agree to what? These are his words, not mine. They can't agree legally. They can't give these external powers, either economic or national or the globalist elite or whatever, they cannot grant or give to these external powers the right to hack into our brains. And those are not my words. Those are the words of the guy that was promoting the legitimacy of their right, the right of the global reset to hack into our brains. They have no legal right to hack into our brains, even if they wanted to. Why? Because that would be in a direct violation of the most powerful parts of our Bill of Rights and our Constitution. So they would have to initiate a full coup d'etat, a full-blown revolution in order to transform our nation, America. You would have to destroy, you would have to burn up the Bill of Rights and the Constitution because we have something called the Fourth Amendment. And this is why it's important for conservatives and Christians and libertarians and individuals to understand what your legal rights are. Because you have to understand that these people, like this guy from the World Economic Forum, he is plotting to, through lies and deception, overthrow your legal rights. You see, you are legally protected by the Bill of Rights and the Constitution of America. You are legally protected from any entity or group or individual that would plan or plot or aspire to hack into our brains. They would have to challenge the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, because the Constitution and the Bill of Rights prohibit them from doing anything remotely like that. They're blocked. The only way that they could potentially do it is if they did an end run around the Constitution and Bill of Rights and made up their own laws out of nowhere and attempted to hack into our brains by the millions and millions of people reading, perusing, looking at the video, intruding on every private thought, every personal emotion, every private idea, every private sacred religious belief you hold. They want to go into your brain and read it and see it and file it and categorize it, profile you. They want to hack into your brain. That is theft. They want to steal your rights from you and conduct theft on the highest level possible. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. We'll be back in just a moment. This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. So the heads of the World Economic Forum, they look in the camera and they lie to you. They lie to me. And they claim they have the right to hack into your brain, or to hack into anybody's brain. And so one of the key leaders behind Klaus Schwab, the head of the WEF and the man behind the Global Reset and the World Economic Forum, stated openly that the Global Reset is going to bring about an entirely new world where the globalist elite can hack into your mind anytime they choose to. I'm reading that from my brand new book, Power from On High, which I'm racing to get printed for you. And for those of you pre-ordered it, I'm racing to get it out. I know I've said that a billion times. I apologize. But what you will receive will be up to the second critical information. They claim the legal right to hack into your brain anytime they choose. Now, let's remember something. Just because somebody claims they have the legal right to do something doesn't mean that they really do have that right. So, for example, they also claim, which is a complete lie, that we agreed to it. We didn't agree to it at all. Nobody agreed to it. They couldn't agree to it if they wanted to because of the Fourth Amendment. So, the Fourth Amendment says this, and the heads of the Global Reset were bragging about their COVID DNA chip, nanochip technology. And the fact that we agreed to it, the lies. These people are liars. You've got to understand that. They will lie at the highest levels. Okay, so if we look at the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution of the United States of America, it is illegal for any government or globalist institution to hack into your brain. Okay? They're lying, and they intend to steal from you and me and our children and grandchildren. They intend to steal the private sanctity of our God-given human minds. Now, they attempt to say that we agreed to let them hack into our minds. But that's not true, because if you read your constitutional rights, you discover that in your constitutional rights, specifically the Fourth Amendment, which is among the most sacred safeguards of individual liberty embedded in the Constitution, the Fourth Amendment reads, quote, "The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons to be seized." Now, according to our Constitution, we're supposed to be protected and secure in our persons. That just doesn't mean secure in your person just doesn't mean you have the right to have an envelope or a contract, you know, in your coat, and nobody can, you know, arbitrarily take that from you and search it and look at your private documents. No, it means far more than that. It means we're to be protected and secure in our persons. That includes, wake up, your brain, your body, your soul. They have no legal right to conduct unreasonable search and seizure using technology to totally invade the privacy of your mind and your brain, which, by the way, forcing you to open up your brain and disclose the private thoughts, the beliefs, and everything else in your brain, forcing you to do that is the equivalent of the raping of your mind. It's nothing less than the raping of your mind. This is what these people propose. So, according to the Constitution, we're supposed to be protected and secure in our persons, our brain, our body, our clothing, our houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures. And by the way, using 5G technology from a transmitter next to your neighbor's house, which is tuned to a particular electromagnetic frequency, which scans everything in your brain, is a violation of your constitutional right. Doesn't matter whether the unreasonable search and seizure is being conducted through nanochip implants or DNA chip implants or electromagnetic frequencies. It's still an egregious violation of your constitutional rights. So, due to the internet and computers and electronic media and the most horrific fault of all, which is this: our elected representatives, including presidents, vice presidents, governors, senators, legal representatives, the courts, the Supreme Courts, every legal institution in America, which has solemnly pledged before God to uphold our basic rights, like protect us with the Fourth Amendment, all of them are guilty at the present moment. They're guilty of defaulting on their sacred oaths and promises to uphold the Fourth Amendment. That's why we have the problem. And it's time for house cleaning. The key word in this subversion of our rights is unreasonable. There's no reasonable. Bill Clinton, another prolific liar, said that the American people do not have a reasonable expectation of privacy. What kind of horse manure is that? It says right in the Fourth Amendment that you and I are protected from unreasonable search and seizure. So on what legal basis does Bill Clinton have the right to stand up and say the opposite of what the Constitution and the Bill of Rights says, and he just goes off the reservation and says a completely criminal thing? He says the American people don't have a reasonable right of privacy. That's a total, utter lie, and it's in violation of the Constitution, which he swore to uphold. Unreasonable is the magic word they use to create an artificial loophole for all kinds of non-warranted search and seizures, including digital tyranny and the establishment of a surveillance state. So, we have a constitutional right that protects us from unreasonable search and seizure. But unless you and me and every thinking, aware individual, Christian, libertarian, atheist, humanist, whatever, unless we stand for our rights in a legal and law-abiding manner, unless we push back legally, peacefully, but very aggressively, unless we stand for our constitutional rights that protect us from unreasonable search and seizure, unless we're willing to go to the mat for it, we're going to lose it. And let me tell you what will happen next. They will trample upon us like they've been trampling upon us for the last 60 years, like they have trampled, like communist China has abused horrifically their own population, as did Russia and other nations. This whole idea that just because it's a microchip implant or a biochip implant or a DNA chip implant doesn't give them permission to rape your mind. That's exactly what it is. Sorry if it offends you. Better that you're offended now than offended later. They don't have the right to hack into your brain, to control it. That's totalitarian on steroids. Okay, we're going to be back in just a moment with some more facts. You know, if you're going to some kind of church or group or organization, if you're hanging out with your friends or stuff, you're in one of two categories. You are either part of the problem because you're apathetic and non-involved, and you are allowing, because of your apathy, you're allowing your rights to be stolen from you. You're allowing the rise of an electronic totalitarian state. And if you're that kind of person, don't think for a moment. Don't manipulate the Word of God. Don't manipulate the integrity of God's Word with some cheap, jack-in-the-box excuse of an argument and pretend that somehow you can justify your apathy, which will guarantee the destruction of a free America and guarantee the destruction of the ability to practice your freedom of religion, like Christianity or whatever it is. Don't play those little mind games. You're not fooling yourself, and ultimately, you're not fooling God. God has put responsibility on you, whether you like it or not. God has put responsibility on you and me and every person that claims to be an authentic believer in Jesus Christ. God has given us an order called a mandate, where Jesus Christ told us we must occupy until he comes. If you're not obeying the mandate from Jesus about occupying until he comes, then you are AWOL, absent without leave from the armies of God, and you are the reason our nation is crashing into a totalitarian state. There's no way you can, you know, manipulate yourself around that. That's number one. You're either part of the problem or part of the solution. So you're either empowering the problem right now, or you're empowering the solution. How would you be powering the solution? You would stand up intelligently, prayerfully, and you would do everything that you possibly could, according to your abilities, et cetera, et cetera, to stand up against the bullies and to stand for, intelligently and in a law-abiding manner, to stand up for things like freedom of religion, freedom of the press, and unreasonable search and seizure, et cetera, et cetera. And then standing up for it is just the first phase of obeying God. You really want to obey God. Then you occupy. Inherent in the description of the word occupy is the word you have to be. You're either driving back the enemies of our nation and the enemies of Jesus Christ. You're either driving them back off of our land and our rights and our future, or you're laying down the welcome mat in surrender for them to occupy and destroy and enslave our nation, which is their stated goal. So I want to ask you the question, are you part of the problem or part of the solution? And you know what? You can say anything you want to yourself, anything you want to me. You can pretend anything you want. But whatever you're doing, you can't fool God. God has X-ray vision. He can see right through the pretension. And if you say you believe the word of God, then hear the word of the Lord right now. The Lord has established what is called the judgment seat of Christ. Every believer in Jesus Christ, after they die, will stand before the stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. We'll be back in just a moment to expose more truth and shine the light in the darkness. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. This is the Paul McGuire Report. Okay, you're going to stand, according to the Bible, at the judgment seat of Christ, not to be confused with the great white throne of judgment. The people who stand before the great white throne of judgment are those people who have never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And God is going to judge them based on whether or not their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that is a very sobering and heavy event in which you will be allowed to enter heaven for all eternity, or God sitting on his throne, the great white throne of judgment, will send you into the lake of fire for all eternity for rejecting God's free offer of salvation in Jesus Christ. So back to the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is where all those people who call themselves believers in Jesus Christ have to give a full account before God. By the way, evangelicals love to make up their own man-made theology. They like evangelicals love to give themselves lots of wiggle room to wiggle out of the truth and the reality of the judgment seat of Christ. If you're going to a church where the pastor or the denomination or the church and the Bible studies never talk about these things, then don't come to me and ask me the question, are you going to the right church? It's already a given that you have chosen to go to a church in full-blown apostasy, full-blown spiritual deception. That's already a given. Because it's impossible to say that you're following Christ and that you're not into apostasy if you refuse to go to a church which is ministering and preaching faithfully the entire Word of God. So at the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to give a full account of every action, every word, everything you've done or have not done for Jesus Christ and his kingdom. And the way it plays out is in every area where you were apathetic, where you were failed, where you failed to do the will of God, where you failed to obey the Word of God, in every area where you choose to depart from obeying the Word of God, the Lord keeps a careful record of that. And then you will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ for everything you failed to do, everything you failed to preach, teach, and practice that God said that he was going to hold you accountable for. And so what happens while you're being judged at the judgment seat of Christ, it's like you're in everything you did for self and ego and for cowardice and to get the easy way out, everything you did out of wrong motives will be burned up before Jesus Christ. All of that Jesus Christ will categorize as wood, hay, and stubble, and it will be set upon fire right before your face and eyes and right before the face and eyes of the judge, Jesus Christ. So all the wood, hay, and stubble in your life will be set ablaze by the purifying fire of the Holy Spirit. And then everything you did for Christ out of a pure motive, like standing up against things like allowing the globalist elite to hack into people's brains, and you didn't do a thing, well, that is going to be set on fire with such intensity and such burning that only God knows, but you may very well still be saved, maybe, only God knows, but you will jump out of that fire of judgment just like a man or woman escaping their house that is totally on fire and burning up, and they manage to get out of their house just before their home collapses in flames. They escape just before their home burns up in flames. Okay? And everything that they did do out of faithfulness to Jesus Christ, everything that they did and were faithful about and standing up for the truth, preaching the truth, winning people to Christ, being faithful to his word, all of that they will be able to carry with them from the judgment seat of Christ as precious jewels. They will be allowed to take all of those pure works with them as precious jewels, and they will be rewarded in heaven for all those precious jewel type of good works. Not legalistic, ego good works, but pure good works. And you will be rewarded for what you really did for Christ, not the faking it, not the phony stuff, but you will be rewarded for what you really did for Jesus Christ, and you will be rewarded for all eternity. And depending upon the level of your faithfulness, hear what the word of the Lord is saying to you now. Don't pretend you don't hear the voice of the Lord through my voice. Don't play that game with the Lord. You should be trembling. I'm trembling. Why am I trembling? Because the teacher is judged to a greater standard than just a regular person, a Christian. That's why I'm trembling. I fear the Lord. And you should fear the Lord. So, you will be rewarded for all eternity for what you really did for Jesus Christ. And the level of authority and power and blessing that you will receive in heaven as a joint heir with Jesus Christ, and the level of the throne that you will sit on in close proximity next to Jesus Christ, the very crown you will wear, signifying your true authority in Jesus Christ, that reward will be made known to you and to all that are in heaven. And it will give you a cause for rejoicing. And when you look in the eyes of Jesus Christ in your brand new glorified body, he's going to say to you these incredible words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now, I'm going to say this once again. America is in the valley of decision. America is at the tipping point by which there is no escape route. Okay? We are in the same place ancient Israel was when Pharaoh and the chariots were pursuing them, and the Red Sea was split, and they traveled across the Red Sea by the miraculous power of God. The American Christians and Christians around the world were in that place right now. The forces of Antichrist have gathered, and we will either by faith see the deliverance of God before our eyes, where the equivalent of a Red Sea will part in two, and we will travel in our deliverance on dry ground right through the Red Sea into the Promised Land. That's on the horizon. Okay, so let's go back to the Word of God, and let's understand that this isn't a game. I know most of your Christian friends like to play church. I would say many of the people I meet when I speak across the country, not all, there's always a faithful remnant. There's always faithful Christians and faithful remnant. But there's also simultaneously a certain percentage of people and leaders who really just want to play church. And they're willing to look the other way when the forces of Antichrist and Satan come down hot and heavy upon our nation. We don't have much time left. I think you've kind of gathered that. This global reset is a rebranding of what was formerly called the New World Order. And the global reset will birth a one world government, a one world religion, a one world economic system, and the global reset will birth, just like it says in the book of Revelation, a mark, a chip implant, 666, where you can't buy or sell without receiving the mark of the beast. That's why they want to hack into your brain. Do you get it? They wouldn't have an they wouldn't have an interest in hacking into your brain if they didn't expect to inspect your brain in the spirit of Antichrist, to see if in your inner man and woman, to see if you were either really worshiping Jesus Christ as Lord, or secretly in your inner man or woman, you were choosing to worship the Antichrist as Lord. That's why they want that power. That's why they want to see, that's why they want to rape your soul and rape your mind. Those, I'm not going to apologize for those words. I'm understating the facts in the hope that, that the shock will wake some people up to their senses. You need to understand with everything in you that the reality and the world that you're moving into, that your children are moving into, is the very world that Bible prophecy predicts for us in both Genesis, Revelation, and other prophecies throughout the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Satan has been at this one master plan since the time Satan invented transhumanism, and he told Adam and Eve if they would disobey God, reject God's word, and then if they would eat from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, that they would become like gods. They would be as gods. That was the first spiritual revolutionary attempt by the serpent of old to launch the satanic plan of transhumanism. Satan was saying you can move from mortality and just being a mortal human being, and you can take a quantum leap and receive the power and the mind. You can become just like God if you will choose to reject God's word. And if you choose to disobey God and eat from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, then you will become as gods. You will be transhuman creatures. And that is a very seductive promise. That's probably the most powerful seduction that Lucifer continually uses against the human race. The seduction, spiritual deception, and promise that you will be like gods. Okay, let's go back a number of years. I've been tracking this for 40 years, by the way, 45 years. Let's go back. I believe this quote is from the late 1960s. I write about her in some of my books, like A Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 1 and 2. There was a futurist, a very powerful occultist and futurist, whose name was Barbara Marx Hubbard. And I read her books and studied her writings, I don't know, 30 years ago, heavily. And I was reviewing my notes, and I decided to put one of her quotes in my upcoming brand new book, Power from On High. Because what she said could have been said today by the leaders of the occult, okay? So what Barbara Marx Hubbard said was this, and this was in the 1960s, quote, "One-fourth of humanity must be eliminated from the social body. We are in charge of God's selection process for planet Earth. He selects, we destroy. We are the riders of the pale horse death." Barbara Marx Hubbard. I mean, that's bone-chilling. And that is precisely the mindset and the game plan of the globalist elite and the World Economic Forum. What they are doing through mechanisms of subterfuge, like vaccinations, like the aftermath of vaccinations, like GMO foods and hundreds of other stealth mechanisms, they are currently in the process. It says in the Georgia tombstones that they intend to, as fast as they possibly can, take down the world's population from 7.5 billion people to just 500 million people. But 30 years earlier, Barbara Marks Hubbard, part of their same circle, said, "One-fourth of humanity must be eliminated by the social body. We are in charge of God's selection process for planet Earth. He selects, we destroy. We are the riders of the pale horse, death." So she's openly announcing their plans to kill off countless millions of people. Now, she says other stuff. I'm going to read it to you. So that you know what we're really up against, so that you have a full realization of just how evil the evil is that's coming at us, and you can't afford to be asleep. This is another quote from Barbara Marks Hubbard. She views this mass killing off of what they call the useless eaters. And she perceives the people that the elite are going to kill off by the hundreds of millions as useless evil cancer cells. Then she says, Hubbard says, quote, "This act is as horrible as killing a cancer cell," which means she believes it's like a virtuous medical duty to kill all these people. It's nothing more than killing a cancer cell. And she continues to say, "It must be done for the sake of the future of the whole of the whole. So be it. Be prepared for the selection process, which is now beginning. We, so be it, be prepared for the selection process, which is now beginning. We, the elders," that's her and the elite, "have been patiently waiting until the very last moment before the quantum transformation to take action to cut out of this corrupted and corrupting element in the body of humanity." She means Christians. "It is like watching a cancer growth. Something must be done before the whole body is destroyed. The destructive one-fourth must be eliminated from the social body." I mean, if that doesn't scream Adolf Hitler and the Nazis, I don't know what does, and they're serious about it. Then Hubbard says, "We are moving from unconscious evolution through natural selection to conscious evolution by choice." And then she says, if you understand what she's saying the COVID pandemic, the vaccinations, the food shortages, the Ukrainian-Russian conflict, the potential of World War III, the potential of nuclear war, it's all important for them because this is a way they can get rid of the useless eaters. And then she writes, "Small islands of coherence in a sea of chaos." Small islands of coherence refers to her and her fellow enlightened Luciferians, who are like islands of coherent sanity in the sea of chaos all around us. And then she says, "We, the Luciferians, we can shift the whole system to a higher order." And she means a Luciferian order. "We are the gods that are here to rule over you. We are the Luciferian globalist elite who, although represent a tiny minority, we can shift the whole system to a higher order. It also means, just like the Nazis, communists, and totalitarians, we give ourselves the absolute right to destroy you by the hundreds of millions for your own good." Now, they are dead serious, the global reset and all the globalist belief. They're Luciferians. This is what they believe, chapter and verse, secretly. They're just not coming out right now in the open and saying it. Although she came out and printed, published all of this in one of her books. They're delusional. They believe that they are the Luciferian gods of planet Earth. And they believe that, well, let me read to you what she says. Make no mistake about it, you are looking directly in the face of Adolf Hitler, Stalin, Lenin, Chairman Mao, Jim Jones, and serial killers like Ted Bundy. She's bragging about this. And so this is part of what we're up against. You've got to understand that these people are hiding inside the United Nations, hiding in UNESCO, hiding in the educational system, hiding in government, national government and global government. Okay, so what's the bottom line? What's the bottom line to all of this? The bottom line to all of this is that it is our responsibility to fully understand that this Luciferian elite and the globalist elite that finance them, it is our responsibility to understand their agenda, their strategy, their game plan, and what exactly and precisely and strategically they intend to do right now in human history. And right up front and center, what they intend to do is to continue to utilize DNA chip technology, nanochip technology, to hack into our brains. Why is that important to you? Because the purpose of their hacking into our brains is they intend to wipe out and destroy any Christian beliefs, any belief in Jesus that you secretly might have in the privacy of your mind. They're going to kill you like they killed the Jews. You understand that? I mean, how much more plainer can I say it? Many of you are going to churches, and many of you know people that are going to churches where it's really la-di-da land. You're just playing games. You're not serious about the Word of God. You don't believe that this is happening, even though it is happening. And you are, by choice, part of the problem instead of part of the solution. We are in, you know, like, wake up. How many more different ways do you need to be told? We are in the last days. The end of the age is upon us. And you and I will be in one of two camps. We will be those that believe God and trust God for supernatural protection, supernatural deliverance, supernatural anointing, and a supernatural covering. Or we will be among those who sold our souls and gave our souls to the devil. There's no middle ground. And I can tell you by the friends you keep, by the church or Bible studies you go to, by the words that come out of your mouth in conversation, I can tell you what you believe and where your heart really is. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out. So I'm telling you, as your brother, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm exhorting you. I'm telling you, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you say, how can you be so arrogant to claim that what you say is under the anointing of the Holy Spirit? Very simply, because I'm not saying my own opinion and my own words. I'm saying what the Word of God says. As such, that would qualify for words spoken under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And so let us remember, Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. At a certain point, probably not all that far off in the near future, Jesus Christ is going to return to the earth, along with the armies of heaven. As that time period approaches, Satan is going to attempt to energize his demonic armies, all those human beings who've accepted the Mark of the Beast technology, all those people that have sold their souls to Satan. Satan or Lucifer is going to attempt to mobilize and energize. Now, let's just review this one more time, because I can't fail you, and I can't fail at the mission that God has given me. If I come before a microphone or any other form of communication, and I fail to intelligently and spiritually and rationally talk to you about what God has told me to speak about, then I have failed in my mission, and I really should walk away in shame. I don't want to do that, not because I'm proud, because I want to be obedient to Jesus, just like I know deep inside your heart, you want to be obedient to Jesus. So we are at the time in history that every one of us needs to make a choice. We either serve Satan with all our heart, or we serve Jesus with all our heart. It's just that simple. If we choose to serve Jesus with all our heart, if we choose to obey his word and quit fighting him with phony theological arguments, if we choose to receive the dunamis, the dynamite power of God by faith, if we choose to be clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit by faith, then we are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, we have the dunamis, the dynamite power of God, that gives us the supernatural energizing force that is necessary to conquer and overcome Satan, the demons, the fallen angels, the principalities and powers, and the dark unseen forces of wickedness in heavenly places. God knew before the beginning of time, he called you to be here for such a time as this. And I'm exhorting you and I'm challenging you, once again as your brother in Christ, to rise now by faith and to, by faith, receive the infusion of the power of the Holy Spirit. No. You don't have you have the choice to disobey a God and reject the power of the Holy Spirit, but then you won't be able to accomplish your assignment. The only way you can win the battle God has given you, the only way you can accomplish the assignment God has assigned you to accomplish, is by being willing to obey him and his word. And right now, just come before God, open up your hands before the Lord privately, and simply ask God privately, your hands outstretched and open before him, ask him in the name of Jesus Christ, ask him to fill you right now with the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you are sincerely doing that right now, if you're asking God to clothe you with power from on high, if you're asking Jesus to fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit at this very moment, then God is going to keep his word to you. And at this second, God is going to clothe you with power from on high. You are going to be filled. You are going to be infused with power from on high. So praise the Lord. And say that out loud or privately, whatever is easier. Praise the Lord from your heart. Praise him from your heart. Worship him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords from your heart. And as you raise up your hands in worship to the Lord Jesus Christ, praising his name, Jesus, he will begin to fill you right now with a very powerful and a very fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. He will clothe you right now with power from on high. And as you receive and as you drink in this supernatural power from on high from heaven, you will experience at this very moment, and you can't be afraid of the word experience, you will experience at this very moment a fresh infusion of the power of the Holy Spirit. You will experience at this very moment being clothed with power from on high. So the proper way to worship God now is to raise your hands outstretched towards heaven, to begin to praise God and worship him out loud, you know, say like, praise your name, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, right now for filling me with the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for clothing me right now with the power of the Holy Spirit. And then you pause for a moment, but you continue to worship the Lord. And as you do that, and as you surrender your ego, as you surrender your know-it-all attitude, as you surrender your spiritual pride, et cetera, before the Lord God Almighty right now, you will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Lord God King Jesus is clothing you with his power from on high. And just receive it right now by faith. And say what the Lord is saying through you. So right now, as I'm receiving this fresh infusion of the power of the Holy Spirit, right now, as I'm receiving by faith, being clothed with power from on high, right now, as I'm drinking in this dunamis power, the dynamite power of God, and right now, as I'm being filled freshly with the power of the Holy Spirit, right now, as his anointing, the anointing of the Holy Spirit is being poured out upon me, I can sense, as I'm talking to you, I can sense that I'm being supernaturally energized. I can sense that I'm supernaturally being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And as I worship God being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, I feel this supernatural joy begin to enter my heart. And as the power of the Spirit fills the core of my inner man, I feel all oppression, all anxiety, all residual worry, anything that constitutes chaos or confusion or oppression or adversity or any other opposition I may have named to you, as I'm worshiping the Lord Jesus, I'm telling you right now, person to person, what I'm feeling, what I'm experiencing. I'm talking to you as if I was a medical doctor giving you an accurate report of what I am experiencing and what is happening in my inner being right now at this very moment as I worship the Lord together with you. So this is what's happening. The peace of God that passes all understanding is guarding my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. I feel a peace, a serenity, and the presence of the Lord with a great anointing being poured out into my heart and out of my inmost being. I feel the presence of the Lord beginning to saturate this studio that I'm in. I feel the presence of the Lord in every molecule, in every cell, in every organ, tissue, neuron of my body. I feel the glory of the God. I feel right now, I'm telling you exactly what I'm going through. I'm sharing it with you. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I feel that every cell in my body, every neuron in my body, is being individually bathed in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's individually being filled with the healing power of Jesus Christ. And as that is happening, the joy of the Lord is expanding and growing and overflowing from my innermost being. And I have a smile on my face that I didn't have when I walked into the studio. And I feel the energy of God coming down upon me. And I'm not afraid of that energy. I want to sync up with that energy. And any sense of shame or whatever, it's all blown out into some galaxy somewhere. It's all blown out and God's throwing it into a black hole in some distant galaxy. And I feel in my inner man a slight drunkenness. Oh, I can see some people going off the plantation on that. I'm not talking about that I'm using drugs or drinking alcohol. When I use the metaphor of slight drunkenness, notice that with great precision, I used and started the description with the adjective slight, because I was preempting the possibility of somebody distorting, which means lying about what I said, accusing me of being drunk or high or something. That's not the case. I'm not drunk or high. I can tell, you can tell the difference between being filled with the joy of the Lord and imbibing booze. It's two different experiences. So get over it. The apostles, the disciples were accused of that. And the apostle Peter had to stand up and defend them in front of the people with the religious spirit. So I'm filled with the joy of the Lord. I'm filled with the energy of the Lord. I'm filled with the healing power of the Lord. I'm filled with the anointing of the Lord. And now it's like this oppression that I wasn't even completely aware of. This oppression that has been settling upon me due to the raging spiritual battle that I've been going through as I've been writing this new book. You have no idea of the raging spiritual battle I've been involved in. But I feel that yoke of oppression being snapped by the hands of God, and I'm being set free. And I can sense that I'm taking up wings of eagles, and the joy of the Lord is filling my soul. And I have a sense now of childlike delight that I didn't have a few moments before. And the same Holy Spirit that's talked about in Joel chapter 2 and Acts chapter 2, where God says, I will pour out my spirit in the last days, is happening to me right now. And I know from a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge, that same Holy Spirit that is being poured out in the last days is being poured out on you right now. So welcome it and receive it and allow the anointing of the Lord, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to both minister to you and to fill you. Because as you choose to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and not rely on the power of your flesh, your mind will be blown as you discover that you are now able to do things, accomplish things, and you are now set free to do all kinds of things that God has called you to do. If you will simply, quietly obey the Lord and choose to walk under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and obeying the Holy Spirit. And I just want to, if you were here, I'd give you a hug. That's corny. I don't care. I'm not living my life for some section of critics somewhere. I could care less about what they say. You understand that? I don't give a you-know-what about what the critics say. I'd give you a hug in the name of Jesus. May the power of God come down upon you and give you the energy to complete your mission on planet Earth. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us.